So, if you haven't been living on planet Earth, you may not know that we're in the Giant Slayer series, right? And an amazing thing happened. Debbie and I were driving with CK on like Tuesday or something, and we see that they're advertising our series and outside Cresta. We were absolutely blown away. Jack the Giant Slayer. So I didn't know it's actually Shan the Giant Slayer and Keenan the Giant Slayer and Hannah the Giant Slayer and Vicky and Felicia the Giant Slayer and Dale the Giant Slayer. And it is amazing that they're going to actually put it on, and David the Giant Slayer. David really was a giant slayer and is. And so I'm going to show you a sneak preview of the movie that premieres on the 20th. Get ready for this. There's some lights behind you if you can kill all of those lights. Okay, so I know where the leaders are going in March. We're going off to see that. They don't know yet, but we are. And we'll maybe let you know so that if you want to join us at a theater near you. So can I rewind a little bit what this movie is all about? So we've been looking over the last weeks, for example, how do you slay the giant of doubt? How many of you would say today, you know what, I'm doing better with doubt than I was before? In other words, I'm not doubting more, I'm doubting less. Yeah, kind of. I like that response from at least one person, because these giants, we encounter them more than once, don't we? So there's certain things that we need to do to deal with the giant of doubt. We looked at the giant of fear. Sometimes I'm afraid, and what do I need to do about that? And we looked 3 weeks ago at the giant of conformity. And that was like a tough giant that we have to deal with. And how do we do that? And if you've missed any of those sessions, don't worry. Jump onto the Ignite Youth page. You can listen to it from the Sunday morning. This is even better than Star Kinnicore, because even if you missed the movie, you still get all the slides. You still get the whole thing. If you haven't liked Ignite Youth, then you're just not liked. Okay? So do that. But hold on. Stop the bus this morning while you put the front two lights on, the front two on that side. Okay? And I want to suggest that the question in your mind might be, and from a response earlier just now, is can we actually slay our giants? Or are they just too big, bad, and ugly? Well, I found this verse this week that even if a giant, and this is God speaking, the king, you can see him there, even if a giant grips the plunder and a tyrant holds my people prisoner, I'm the one, says God, who's on your side. I don't know who you want on your side. Whether you want maybe Damien, who's probably arguably him and Zach, two of the biggest boys here. Okay, maybe a centimeter big is offense there. But who do you want on your side if you're going to go into battle? I want that guy Jude from Friday night. You know, the Brazilian mixed martial arts maniac that was here killing some of our youth. But even better than Jude is God. And he is the one who will defend your cause, rescue your children. You got some children you want rescued? Probably not. But your offspring one day, hey, that's what you need. And so today, and that brings us to where we are. Or maybe we shouldn't do this now. Maybe we should do this next week. I'm just thinking. Yeah, let's leave it until next week. So have you met the giant of procrastination? I want to suggest that the Israelites did. Now, remember where we are in our story. The people of God were captive in Egypt. Ne? You remember that? And it was tough for them. What God did is he set them free. They left. They headed to the promised land through the Red Sea. It's an original photo, that. It's not photoshopped. Original photo. And Moses brings them to a mountain overlooking the promised land. And he says, go and take the land. And they do, but along the way, they meet a few fairly big giants, you remember? And we've been meeting Fee, Fi, Fo, and Fum, and one more, you know, from our Giant Slayer series. But there was Goliath, who had how many brothers? Four. Five giants that had to be slain, the same five that maybe we're slaying this term. Now, here's something interesting, because I found another passage of scripture when I was reading, and it's about these guys known as Danites. You know, there was all the different tribes. Dan was this cool-looking guy, and he was one of the leaders of the tribes, one of the sons had so many children, they had to call them tribes, not just families. There you can see along the coast on the Red Sea and on the Mediterranean there, you can see a little patch there of Dan. Here's what didn't happen. Everyone was allocated a place to go live. But the Danites, according to this verse in Judges 18, this is actually dozens of years later, we read, they said, let's go for it, let's attack. We've seen the land and it's excellent. Are you just going to sit there on your hand? On your hands? Don't dawdle. Come, now is the time to invade and conquer. When you get there, you'll find that they're sitting ducks, totally unsuspecting, wide open land. God is handing it over to you, everything you could ever ask for. This is months, years after the initial occupation of the land. They still hadn't moved forward. And just after this, in 18:19, in Judges, they go in and they take their inheritance. And I wonder what the giant of procrastination actually looks like, really. Procrastinators unite tomorrow. This is a definition of procrastination. Oh, I'll find a picture for that later. Procrastinate now, you will panic later. That's maybe one of the truest things I can say to that. If you procrastinate today, and you don't do that thing that you need to do, you will panic later. Have you seen that little movie where one of these despicable guys, have you been to movies lately? I don't know if it's about cell phones and stuff. They're blowing those fluty things. And the guy just goes ballistic halfway through. Okay? If I would have shown that if it was there. You will panic later if you don't speak up. This is deep. Martin Luther King Jr. said, we are now faced with the fact, my friends, that tomorrow is today. Deeper. Tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of the now. In this unfolding conundrum of life and history, there is such a thing as being too late. Procrastination is still the what? Thief of time. And so I want you to turn to someone next to you and I want you to ask them this question. What one thing are you putting off that you should be doing? And I'm going to, before you ask the question, I'm going to give you 20 seconds to think about how you're going to answer your mate. Make sure it's something specific, practical, out of your life right now, because we're going to deal with that thing throughout the rest of the service. So what is that one thing, Dominic, that you are putting off that you should be doing? What is that one thing, James, that you're putting off that you should be doing? What is it, Vicky? What is that one thing for each of you? Okay? I think they're ready to answer that question. Ask them the tough question. Go. Did anyone not have one thing? Like when you asked the question, did anyone say, I'm sorry, I don't have anything that I can think of? Isn't that interesting? Well, let's begin to think about how this giant of procrastination actually works. I'm going to get into the science of procrastination and see how we can understand it a bit better. So here's how it goes down. You get a task. Now, if it's Spartacus, it's like go and kill like 100 people maybe. I don't know what your task is. It probably doesn't involve bloodshed, but it's something. You know, it's a project. It's something to do. It's something around the home. It's something with your friend. Or it's God saying, I want you to go and speak to someone and maybe pray for someone. And what happens? You hit a wall. Bam. Who's ever run into a glass door before? Oh, I have. And it's so embarrassing. You don't even worry about the pain. All you worry about is, I hope no one's looking. I hope no one's looking. I feel like such a fool, right? You've all hit a wall. Apparently, even runners hit walls sometimes. And obviously, it's metaphorical, right? You hit a wall. And thirdly, you miss a deadline. And the moment is gone. The opportunity is gone. And you just wish you can get back and do it. Now, what is the wall? What is the wall in terms of this procrastination? I want to suggest a couple things. Or maybe I'll open up. What do you think the wall is that you hit? Dale? Time? Time management? Anyone? What is the wall? Distraction? Dude, you're on my page. Overthinking? Cool, Joshua. Overthinking it. Too much thinking, not enough doing. Shan? You don't like the task? Yes. Doubt, CK. Laziness? Fear, says Micah.
You are a little bit short, so that's why fear would be a thing. No, I'm joking. Yes, Bianca. Lack of discipline, two things there, and another one, motivation, a lack thereof. Can you see? I think you know this giant better than any of the others, to be honest. I'm going to suggest at least four things, and they've all come out. I don't think there's one that hasn't been shared. There's, I don't think I can do this. We have, I think, enjoyed this Giant Slayer series. I don't know about you. Maybe some of us, like CK, has been preaching on this, and Gloria next week, who still has to have a chance, is like, we're loving this. So when I got down to kind of like prepare and start this week, I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can, like, be what we did last time, you know? And it's like, I think I'm going to go and play squash. Procrastination. I'm not sure, you know? Can I do this thing? This is hard. This is math, for heaven's sake. Self-doubt. Secondly, perfectionism. I spoke to one of the pastors on Friday night, and he said a big factor is I want to be so perfect that I just don't get finished. The world doesn't reward perfectionism. It rewards those who get the job done. That's what the quote was on this picture of this old man that I edited out. You can't even see where I've removed words and put new grass in. I'm a magician, Warwick, not just you. Thirdly, I want to suggest, and I think Keenan said it, distraction. Some of us struggle with attention sometimes. I think all of us at some time struggle with attention. There's like a deficiency, right? I want to do it and I start and then I look up and like, oh, that's so my favorite movie. I need to watch that. Oh no, I haven't seen Top Gun for like 20 years. Ah, forget that assignment. I'm going to do Top Gun. I'm talking for Debbie because she thinks this dude is good looking. Meantime, he's not half as good looking as me. Distraction. Attention issues. And you don't have to be clinically diagnosed with attention issues to deal with the problem of distraction. And I want to suggest one more that was well mentioned just now. Laziness. Nothing wrong with a bit of telly. But I just don't care. And I just don't do it. And you know what? Tomorrow is another day. So this is how procrastination works. You get a task. You hit a wall. You miss a deadline. Anyone ever been there? Who's missed a deadline before? Wow, I see two hands. 52. I want to challenge you that you can fight laziness. You can fight distraction. You can fight attention deficiency. You can fight perfectionism. You don't have to give in. I kind of thought I should look a little bit at Jesus and see whether in his life is, how did he handle, was he like lazy? Well, long before he's even born, this prophecy is given by the prophet Isaiah where it says, take a look at my servant. No, it's not a song. He'll steadily and firmly set things right. He won't tire out and quit. He won't be stopped until he's finished his work to set things right on earth. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't stop until he got the job done of salvation? Here's a verse that Jesus, well, here's what Jesus said in Luke 9. No procrastination. Wow, we knew about this giant. No backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Seize the day. Carpe diem. I'm not even sure that phrase had been invented yet in Jesus' time. And this is that passage that speaks about no one who's put his hand to the plow is fit to continue in the kingdom of God if he looks back. Have you ever plowed before? I often do it on Saturday. We plow the yard and we got two oxen and we put that thing in with the hook and I walk up and down with the oxen. And sometimes Debbie calls me, says, Mark, your tea's ready. I'm like, I'm coming, love. And before I know it, I'm plowing the neighbor's swimming pool into pieces. And it's horrible, embarrassing. I've repaired this swimming pool so many times. And sometimes the oxen run off because I'm looking. And Jesus says, you can't put your hands to the plow in the kingdom and look back, look away. What about Jesus' actions? As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. One of the translations says, he set his face like flint for Jerusalem. What was waiting for him in Jerusalem? Cross, a cross. Cross people who put him on a cross. They crossed him. One guy even double crossed him. Okay, that's probably my moment of brilliance for the week, the month. I don't think I would have actually gone to Jerusalem. I would have had a quiet word with Father God, like, God, can we renegotiate this deal? Could we just, I'm going to Galilee at the lake, and I'm going to do another campfire. And then I'm going to pray for people's salvation. No, 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 Jesus said, I am going like flint. And in his last breath, he said, it is finished. Jesus destroyed the giant of procrastination. How are we going to do this? Do I have anything? Is this just a motivational pep talk today? Heck no. There's a lot more that I want you to take away today. So now some of you know that I'm trying to read the Bible in 90 days. And it's tough. You talk about wanting to procrastinate. I'll read later. You know what I mean? Well, in my reading, and I'm on day 55. Today is 56. Haven't missed a day, proud to say. 15 to 20 chapters a day. That's a lot. Almost like when I wear a badge. Like, I'm so proud, and then God's going to humble me, so I thought I won't wear the badge at all. You know what I mean? So here's what I find. I find a brand new passage, a brand new verse. It's about a time when the temple is now built, is broken down. This is the passage from 2 Chronicles 24. This is what I read. The time came when Joash determined to renovate the temple of God. He got the priests and the Levites together, and he said to them, circulate through the towns of Judah every year and collect money from the people to repair the temple of God. You're in charge of carrying this out. So the temple, the church is in a mess. Buildings run down. Trees are growing up everywhere. It's like Jack and the Beanstalk stuff, and all the ground is all broken. And Pastor Roger says, Pastor Ian, Pastor Carol, Pastor Mark, Gloria, Kondwani, can you guys go and meet with all the people and ask them to contribute 10 rand each? What does Kondwani do? But Kondwani dragged his feet and didn't do anything. He did diddly squat. Nothing, nada, nothing. It's tragic, isn't it? It's tragic. But then the king called in Jehoiada, the chief priest, and said, hey, Mark, why haven't you made the Levites bring in from Judah and Jerusalem the tax Moses set for the upkeep of this place of worship? You can see how bad things are. That wicked queen Athaliah and her sons let the temple of God go to ruin and took all of its sacred artifacts for use in worshiping a false god, in this instance, Baal. Then they sent out a tax notice throughout Judah and Jerusalem. It's a tithing reminder email. Dear church member, this is Pastor Roger. Please remember to bring your tithes to Ignite Youth on Sunday because we want to renovate the kitchen. And so they had to pay the tax that Moses set when Israel was in the wilderness. The people and their leaders were glad to do it and cheerfully bought their money until the chest was full. Can we unpack this just a little bit? Because I think in here is a classic example of procrastination. The Levites dragged their feet and didn't do anything. I don't know if you've ever walked anywhere and tried to drag your feet while you're walking. I was trying to demonstrate that, but maybe Michael Jackson with his moonwalking could drag his feet. But it's that idea I've seen my children do this sometimes. Ash, no, I won't, it's not her. She's the perfect one. Kiggs, will you go and mow the lawn? 20 minutes later, the boy is still walking towards the kitchen door. 30 minutes later, he hasn't found the lawnmower in the garage yet. 40 minutes later, he's playing Game Boy. Dragging his feet. You've never dragged your feet, but I've got children of a lesser God. So, here's what actually happens in the process. The first thing that I can see in this is that they let the temple go to ruin, took all of its sacred artifacts for use in Baal worship. Here's what the leaders do. They face the facts. This is what's happening. This is bad. This is not a good thing. We're not in a good place here. We need to do something about us. So what do? They send out a tax notice and they say, you guys need to cough up and pay here. Here's the second thing. They created a plan. Face the facts. Create a plan. We need to do something about this. I'm going to send out an email. Dear Jacob, if you've seen Trevor Noah. That's actually Jacob typing. They create a plan. Secondly, they share the plan. It's one thing to get a plan. How many of you have ever said, I've got this task to do, and you make a plan? Oh, so like Dale. This is so Dale. This is Dale. I mean, none of you are like her, because she gets this plan and then doesn't do the plan or whatever. And so here's what happens. They start the plan like Dale on a good day, you know? Actually start the plan, and guess what? Surprise, surprise. By the end, the chest is full and they start repairs on the temple. They finish the plan. Have you ever finished a plan before? Isn't it awesome? Isn't it like, whoa, I've done this. And your parent says, whoa, thank you. Yes, double your pocket money this month. Okay, not in the real world. I dreamt that once. Okay, so there are five things that you can do to slay. How many stones did David have? Hey, winner. Five stones. Why? How many giants were there? Goliath and Fi, Fa, Fo, and Fum. Five of them, right? There were five giants, but he only needed one to slay Goliath. I'm going to give you five smooth stones to slay this giant. You need to face the facts. What are the facts about this thing you've been asked to do? If I don't do this, I'm going to fail this year. If I don't do this, I'm going to infuriate my parents and they're going to cut slash my pocket money. Take away my airtime. So you face the facts. What do I need to do? When do I need to do it? What is actually going on here? And secondly, you need to create a plan. You need to work out in your mind, what am I going to do about this thing? Because generally, it's not a one thing. That's the problem. I have a project to do. It's not one action. It's research, maybe, understand the topic. It's Google now, save some stuff, change the quotes just a little bit so it sounds like it's my own words. It's called cheating. And then start to create a tie, and in the end, you have to print it and make sure the dog doesn't eat it and deliver it to school. So there's like five things you have to do for that simple example, right? So you create the plan. But then you need to go to someone else, I think. You need to say, I'm going to set out to do this thing, but it's tough. And can you think of me? Can you pray for me? Can you encourage me? Can you, Mom, this is what I'm going to do in this week. Can you just like check every now and then and see whether I'm doing it? Because when you share the plan, it really helps. And number four, throw the stone at the giant. Start the plan. Get out of the block. Don't just stay down in the block. I can easily beat this oak. I'm way quicker than him. My problem is I take very long to get out of the blocks. So I'm much quicker over 95 meters, but I just don't start fast. Otherwise, you're saying, I'll bolt right past them. You know what I mean? I'm like way quicker. So that's the problem. Do we actually get out of the starting blocks? Or are we like, oh, hold on. Stop. A shoelace. Oh, hold on. I've got a crease in my pant. I need to get my pant repaired. Pants, ne? Oh, you like that? Yeah, I've seen your pants. And then finally, finish the plan. Okay? At some point, you need to say, I'm going to celebrate now because I've done this. I've won the race. And have you seen runners celebrating? You know, and credit to my boy Kondwani, who gave me an idea of what pictures to use for this, because I was stumped. I was procrastinating with a horrible picture. And he said, here's an idea. And he gave me this image of someone just like getting out of the blocks and celebrating like, woohoo, I've done it because you've won. Who's come in first place in the last year in a race or in a team sport or something? Even Luke has. Awesome, bro. Awesome. Oh, that is stunning. It feels good, right? Sounds easy. Yeah, right. Because this giant has us, right? In our hand. He's like, yeah, so you think you're going, you think you're going to be able to do this thing. I am tougher than you and my breath stinks. And he's spitting in your face and you're beginning to doubt again. How do I actually break free? How do I get this giant in prison and break free myself? Well, here's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to share with you my best practices for slaying the giant of procrastination. Can I do that? Are you up for it? Couple practical things to help make sure I start and finish. Well, here's a couple things. Firstly, I always ask myself, what projects must I tackle? And I come with a list before the week starts, and the team will know how like psychotically organized I am. I'm a little bit on the pendulum, sometimes swing too high. You know what I mean? But what is everything on my plate? What are the projects that I have to do in my personal life, in my work life, in my devotional life, with my friends, with my family? I mean, I would still be thinking about flying my father up in 2 weeks' time and about thinking about booking with Kalula if I hadn't made a project and said, number one, get online, find out how much the ticket costs. Number two, ask my sister if on that day she can drop dad off at the airport in King Shaka Airport. And number three, am I available to fetch him? Number four, get out my credit card and pay 1,200 Rand to fly the old timer up here. And I've done all that. If I hadn't created a project, I would still be, Dibs, we really need to get the old man up here. And like, the closer you get to the time, how many of you know how expensive plane tickets get? So if I procrastinate, it's going to hit my pocket, right? So what projects must I tackle? You need to think about this in your life. What are all the projects? Secondly, what actions must I take? How do I go from Clark Kent to Superman? What are the steps? Number one, place hands against chest on shirt. Number two, rip gently open, trying not to break the buttons. Number three, pull off the pants, expose the red underpants. Number three, put your hand up and fly. Those are five things that he has to do to get airborne. He doesn't just going up. No, because he's just Clark Kent. Stupid. And yet I try and think, if I just sit, who said stop thinking and actually take action? Joshua, was it you or someone? I think it was like, don't just think, do. Micah, was it you? Too much thinking sometimes is one of the walls we hit. I need to actually say, what is the very next step, the very next action to take with this thing? And if I can do it, and if I can check it off on a list, I tell you what, I'm well on the way. And you can do a paper-based thing. Mine's electronic. It's a little iPhone app called Next Actions, and it's my action plan system. If I tell Kondwani I'm going to do something or give him something, if I don't write it down, he's got no chance of getting the thing. Because I'm old. My brain's like fried. It's 50 years of working. It needs an upgrade. You know, and the next upgrade is scheduled for 85. And that's a long time to wait for an upgrade. How many of you in a computer? You can't wait 50 years. That can, 50-year computer? Is that a good computer? No. Okay, so you need to do whatever it takes to make sure you're keeping lists of things that are needed. And finally, keeping with the Superman motivation idea, what motivation must I find to keep me going? Can I take myself out and treat myself to a milkshake if I do this thing? You know, can I get someone to encourage me? Can I sense God's favor shining on me? But I need some motivation. And let's face it, if you're learning to drive, studying that book, just think ahead of that day when your dad doesn't have to sit next to you. He can sit in the back or stay at home because now you're on your own in the car. Oh, because why? You studied. That's great motivation. You don't want your old man and old lady in that passenger seat all the time. No, don't do that. Don't, watch the pavement. One day you want to be able to ride on the pavement when you want to ride on the pavement. So learn and study that book, step one. And then maybe you should buy it this week so that you can already start driving. Drive on dirt roads at least. Now, here's what we want to do, and I want some of you guys to help me hand these out. We want to make sure that everyone gets one of these. We came across this and thought it'd be a really nice resource. And I'm not going to teach on this because I'm heading towards the finish line now. But there are things like write down a list of all the projects that you have put off. Then prioritize them by date when you need to have them completed. Then decide what needs to be done first and maybe do it. Divide a big project into manageable parts and tackle just one a day. Get a timer, set it for 15 minutes and then go and have a juice. Or do something rewarding. Play 10 minutes of, I can't think of a game, crown type thing. I was thinking of something Keegan was showing me yesterday in the thing. Huh? Thrones and stuff. What's the Game of Thrones? Is that it? Find something that will be rewarding for you and do it. Get someone to help you get started. Get Dale, because she seems to get things done. You know, Dale, can you like help me get this started, man? Find an accountability partner like Kondwani, who's big, and tell him, have you seen the dude's muscles? Man, he will get you motivated. He'll say, don't make me come over there and beat you all up, okay? And make a game of it and have fun. Celebrate your progress and keep going, and maybe even set a fake deadline. I always say, I only need to do this by Friday. I'm going to have it done by Thursday. That means that on the day, the cat doesn't eat my breakfast or vomit all over everything. Okay? And I have another chance to sprint. So, reflect on that in the week. I hope that helps. So, how do we slay the giant of procrastination? Number one, face the facts. The brutal, hard facts. Number two, create a plan. Number three, share the plan. Number four, I've forgotten. Number four, what was it again? Start the plan. Come on, Micah, Prophet Micah. And finally, do it. Finish the plan. Get it done. Tick it off. I want you to reflect for a moment before God. What is something on my plate that I'm needing to do? And God, what do you want me to do about it? Let's have some moment of silence now as we just turn toward heaven and say, Lord, there's this stuff that we identified early on. That thing that I keep putting off. Well, maybe today I've identified why I'm putting it off. But I want to just pause and, Lord, and just engage with you a bit. I'm going to speak to you and say, Lord, this thing, it's hard. I'm not doing it, Lord. I need to come up with a plan. Lord, I'm going to share the plan with you and with someone else. And Lord, I'm going to pray for your power to help me get started and your power to help me endure through those moments of distraction, of laziness, of perfectionism, of attention challenges and distraction. Ask God to help you know what to do. Ask him to give you unique wisdom on how to do it. Ask him to give you the want to. I want to do this. I need to do this. I want to do my best at this. I want to excel. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, work at it with all your heart as if unto the Lord. Colossians 3:17-ish. And Lord, I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to celebrate when this thing is done and you and I are going to be like going out for milkshake together at Milky Lane, not just Wimpy. Lord, it's awesome to be in relationship with you, to be able to turn to you, to bring these kind of things to you. And help me, Lord. Help each of us to get things done. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want to have, as we end, a little bit of a coach moment, right? You know the coach, like, hey, guys, it's halftime. Like, come, gather around. Like we're only 60 points down. You know, we're playing the king's school, you know, because they've got the king on their side, you know? Like, we're only 60 points down. But we can do this. And it's basketball. Okay, maybe we can't do it. But we can, guys. And I want to give you some motivation. And we found this week. We thought we should share it with you. This is your life. Do what you love and do it often. If you don't like something, change it. If you don't like your school, quit it. If you don't have enough time, stop watching TV. If you're looking for the love of your life, stop, anyone. They will be waiting for you when you start doing the things you love. Stop looking for the love of your life and just do the things that you love. And along the way, you're like, hi, you're doing what you love. I love that. I love you. We love each other. Yes, I do. Stop overanalyzing. Life is simple. All emotions are beautiful. When you eat, savor, appreciate, enjoy every last bite. Open your mind, your arms and hearts to new things and people. We are united in our differences. Ask the person you see, the next person you see, what their passion is and share your inspiring dream with them. Travel often. Getting lost will help you find yourself. Some opportunities only come once. Seize them. Life is about the people you meet and the things you create with them. So go out and start creating. Life is short. Live your dream and wear your passion. It's now, people. It's not next week, next month, tomorrow, or someday. It's now. Let's have another word of prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you that you want us to slay these giants. Lord, from where we started, Lord, with this doubt and fear and conformity, and today with the giant of procrastination, Lord God, let us rise above. let us change. We're getting there to, wow, we've arrived in this area, and we're going to be humble and expect you to do even more. So thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week, you're going to meet the giant of unforgiveness. And I know that you're going to be challenged, but you're going to slay it. All God's people said?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Go well. Have an awesome week.